Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
Well, it's about to be election time in the U.S., so today we get political. More specifically, we talk about why we don't tend to get political from the pulpit, and how to comport ourselves as Christians in a diverse political climate. As tends to happen when we talk politics, the conversation ran long. We'll wrap it up in the next episode. We also talk about the pros and cons of a staycation and our 714 prayer initiative. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 9. Have you ever vacationed in Maine?
Oh, absolutely. All her relatives are there. So we would go up every summer and stay with her Aunt Mary, who was in Wells, Maine. So we stayed in the basement and then helped her out. You know, we would cook or do dishes or clean house.
Sounds like a great vacation. You were doing chores?
Yes. But it was okay.
Is there fun stuff to do in Maine too?
Yeah, we did. We went down and toured the, it was the wildest thing. We went down to Portsmouth, downtown to the harbor, and they had these old ships that you could tour, you know, and see. And it was packed out. People were down there, and seafood is great. So if you love seafood, you eat to your heart's content. So I'm walking there, and this is years ago, and I run into the national director of Christian education for the Christian Mission Alliance.
Wow, from the national office person?
Yeah, and he knew me, I knew him, and I was like, what are you doing here? He goes, what are you doing here? I go, well, I'm visiting family. What are you doing here? He goes, well, I'm on vacation.
I'm here for the seafood.
Yep, he was. He was there for the seafood. So it was a great time. Yeah.
Well, we both just got off vacation, so I'm sure people want to know, what did you do to rest? You didn't go to Maine.
To Maine. No, this time, what did we do? I just laid around, you know. We tried not to do anything stressful. We did some reading. We did some recording a little bit. And then we did go to, see my brother.
Okay.
Went down south, visited him, and what do you do when you see family? You eat. So that's what we did. We ate. We went to the beach.
Okay.
So enjoyed that.
Which beach?
So we went to Sanibel.
Down in Fort Myers.
Down in Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. Went to that beach. Yeah. They're still recovering from the hurricane that was down there.
Mm.
Kind of crazy stuff. Yeah.
In my hometown, where my dad is, they had a hurricane, Hurricane Michael, I guess it was 5 or 6 years ago, and they're still recovering. They're just this month in August, they'll get back into their sanctuary, my dad's church. Mm. Actually, they just had a tornado, which is pretty uncommon, that went through the bay, and some places got totally torn up again.
Yeah. Mm. Not to fill anybody with fear, you know, we're coming into that season again, and there's
Ted's
a storm
favorite
out
season.
There.
It's the hurricane season.
If you can guess how many weather apps I have on my phone, we have a prize for you, right?
Yeah. It's maybe more than single digits, guys.
There's a hint there, yeah. There's a hint.
He's my weather source. Anytime there's a storm, if there's a whiff of a storm, 10 days out, Ted is aware of it.
And he's
tracking it.
That's right. I've been through too many hurricanes.
So you mostly stayed home. You went to the
beach. So we stayed home, yeah.
Saw family and then
stayed home, which was good.
I like the idea of a staycation. I just think I never really get to rest if we stay home.
Well, that's true.
It's really hard.
It is hard.
You have to shield yourself from, there's so many things around the house that need to get done. If you're in the house and you're not at work, you're like, well, I guess I could do this or that. But if you leave the house, you can't do those things.
That's correct. Yeah. I remember when my brother, in his first pastorate, you know, down south, he would take his day off and he would drive to West Palm Beach because at that time, Belgrade did not have a Mickey D's. And so he'd go to McDonald's, he'd go to the mall, he'd have to get away, get out of town. Otherwise, he wouldn't feel like he had a day off. It is hard. A staycation is hard. You know, what do you do?
I like the idea of it because maybe I don't want to go anywhere. But then, do I really rest? Because it's not just about, I think, good rest. You have to cease from, like, all your responsibilities, you know? And sometimes, at least for me, breaking the routine and getting out of the normal cycle is kind of what I need to recharge. Even though I don't really want to go to the beach, it's a pain.
Right.
You know?
Right. Oh, I understand that. I'm a Florida boy. And and I grew up in Florida and so forth. Love Florida. Love the beach. but it's probably the process. It's just, yeah. I think that's maybe my warpness of even traveling. It's just like, I don't want to get ready to go. I don't want to go. Mm. I don't enjoy going.
Yeah.
But right. Once I'm there, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
Yeah, we went up to Jacksonville, saw Ashley's folks. Then we went to Panama City, had a big family reunion with my stepmother's family in Panama City, which is where I'm from. And yeah, it was good. I saw some friends and, you know, we went to the beach and we went to the Florida Caverns. That's pretty fun.
We have caverns in Florida.
Yeah, you never been?
I've never been. Oh, that's cool. Florida Caverns.
Yeah. No, oh. You go down and they have the stalactites and the stalagmites and you're wow. Underground. It's cool. Cool. But no, we had a good rest. Now we're back. It's good
we're
to be back.
We're back. I'm glad you're back. I missed you. Yeah. You were missed.
Same.
Yeah.
When I go on vacation, Ted holds down the fort. He does everything. When he goes on vacation, I hold down the fort. So usually after one of us gets back, the other is very extra happy. Tired. Yeah.
Well, and, we're very happy.
Happy also, yes.
Sure.
Well, today we're talking about politics, but don't worry.
Dun, 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 dun.
Not going to be in a way that offends people, we hope.
Dun, 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 dun.
Why don't you describe for people our take on just politics and the pulpit, basically how we treat it when we're at church or when we're preaching, just from the pulpit.
From the pulpit, yeah. A lot of churches, you know, there is that pressure in our society today for pastors to proclaim from the pulpit their political persuasion. I think as a pastor, and this is not a cop-out in any way, it's really a clarifying of our calling and our purpose in our preaching. I believe we're to preach the whole Word of God, the counsel of God. That means the Bible as we have it. We're of the persuasion that, you know, we are to preach it expositionally, and in other words, we go to the text and we pray through the text, we read through the text, we study it, and we discover what the text is saying. And in context of their time when it was written, but also then, of course, very simply put, you know, what's that text mean for our time today? And there are principles, guiding truths in God's Word that is applicable for today and will be applicable for tomorrow, because God's Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah. So when it comes to looking at the political landscape, so to speak, as a follower of Jesus, I look at biblical values or Christ-like values. Mm. We may live in a society that was once Christian. It's not Christian anymore. We may view everything through the filter of our Christian lenses. And sometimes that gets out of whack because we expect anything we view in the world today to be Christian, and that's not the case.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the case. This world is not our home. We are pilgrims in this land, journeying through, because if you're a follower of Jesus, the good news is you're a citizen of heaven, the kingdom of God. So what does that have to do with me here on earth? Well, I'm to be Christ's ambassador, his representative, to live the way Jesus lived, to emulate and manifest his character in everything. Now, there are some people are going to say, well, wait a minute, what about this situation here or this lifestyle or this view? We get angry. We're going to get a pitchfork. We're going to get a sign. We're going to go protest. And if you're, you know, if you feel that's you're led of God to do that, you know, let's come together and reason together and talk about it. But I don't think the pulpit is a place for political endorsement. I think we have to look at the biblical teachings of Scripture and Jesus' view, the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all truth. And then others, when we come into the family of God, they may have a different view than you and I have.
Sure.
And so if they do, then let's be brothers and sisters of grace.
Yeah. It sounds like what you're saying is with regard to politics and the pulpit is that there's some overlap. What we want to do is preach the Word, you know? We
want yes.
to preach the Word. Like you said, there's principles there that will apply to your political life, to your social life, to your family life, obviously. I mean, hopefully. Yes. Yes. Hopefully your faith has something to do with those other realms.
Absolutely.
So there'll be overlap in what we teach and what we're learning from the Word with our political life. But that's not really the same as getting up behind the pulpit and campaigning for someone.
Correct.
You know?
Right.
And if you look at churches that are growing really fast today, it's the churches that do just that. They are quite political.
Yeah.
And they sound a lot like what you see on whatever news station, you know?
Right. That's right.
And so, I don't know, it's a good way to grow a church quickly, but I do think that we lose something when church just becomes another voice that's telling you what side to take.
Yeah.
Because that's what our politics are about in America. So so what it becomes is tell you who to agree with, this guy or this guy. It's like good versus evil. It's one or the other, you know?
Yeah.
That's what the political rhetoric has become. Instead of just like, hey, one idea and another idea, it's the good guys and the bad guys.
Yeah.
And so when church just becomes that, when it just becomes another voice that's telling you that, I think we're losing something because we have this great opportunity to have this alternative story, you know?
Yeah.
The story of Jesus isn't the story of America. It's not the story of red and blue and whatever. Mm-hmm. It has something to do with that, but very little to do with that. Like, really, our political life and our national life and all of that stuff, the story of Jesus and the story of the Bible is so much bigger than that, right? I think everybody knows that. And so that's what the invitation is to this grander thing, this different thing.
Yeah.
That's not that. And I love that. I love that about church and about the gospel. What am I being invited to? Because it's better than what this news station and this guy is inviting me to.
Yeah.
You know?
Christ in you, the hope of glory. I wish, you know, we could be as excited. You know, we used to say back in the day, you know, why can't we get excited like, you know, you're excited about your favorite sports team, you know, your favorite football team, or even now the Olympics, your favorite athlete who's competing. Or we're excited, and many different emotions come to front about your political candidate. You get excited about that. Why can't we be more excited about our Savior, Jesus Christ?
But why do you think that is? Why do you think people are more excited about the Olympics or the election than about the gospel?
Well, I think part of it is because, well, in Western culture, I'm just because that's where I grew up, we have role models, but sometimes when we look to other followers of Christ, some have done great examples, great testimonies of Christ, but sometimes they've fallen.
Sure.
And therefore, it was like, you know, once fail, it doesn't work anymore kind of thing, you know? So we want to be excited about, everybody likes a winner. And we want to see everybody win. And the Christian life is a journey with Jesus, living for Christ, and there are ups and downs. Even the Apostle Paul said, right, we've talked about it, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. There is this battle that goes on because there is a real enemy that is, you know, hammering us to fail and to fall because he wants to bring a war against the glory of God, you know. So
you think one of the reasons we aren't as excited is because we've seen people fail, or the
probably,
testimony?
Probably, yeah. I think they haven't, and I think they haven't seen. You know, okay, we need to be together, to encourage one another, to uplift one another, to pray for one another, to love one another, and that love means more. God's love is broader and wider and deeper than the love is. Well, if you agree with me, then you can be with me. If I agree with you, I want to hang with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to be where, hey, you have a different view. Let's talk about it. Let's reason together. Iron sharpens iron. But bottom line is, if you're a brother or sister in the family of God, you're related to me in that sense, in a real deep eternal sense, and I love you.
Yeah. I think that's the ideal in Scripture and in church. I got to tell you, I don't know if I've ever experienced that, though, in reality. Like, I think almost every church that I've been in has been pretty homogenous, and it's been people who pretty much agree with each other.
Yeah.
And when somebody disagrees, they go make a new church, or you know what I mean? Or
they
go to a different church.
I would love
that's
for
the
that
ideal.
To take place. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like.
And I think it can.
Yeah, for sure. It's a beautiful thing to aim toward, and I think that's what we're invited to in the New Testament, especially. But I don't know that I've seen too much of it. I know those churches exist even today, but I think you have to be quite intentional, because otherwise you just end up gravitating toward people that are like you and that think like you already.
Yeah. Yeah, I think to come to the table together, I think that's why Jesus was big on meals. Mm. You know, he liked getting the people together to eat together, because that breaks down some of that, maybe.
Sure.
You know, and you can begin to discover, well, they value this or value that, and you can talk mm-hmm. it over. Sometimes we allow our emotions to control us.
Sure.
And get away from us. And so I think that causes that, too. And I think Western culture, you know, we all want to be right.
Mm. Sure.
You know, that's another thing. You know, I'm right, you're wrong.
There's a big value of that in our culture, but there's a big value of that in the church. I think because we've been taught that, like, being right about certain things, the gospel, for example, is so crucial to our identity,
yes.
that then within church, that's especially true. You find people who are committed to this idea of being right, often at the expense of being loving or being kind, which I don't think is what we meant to do, and that's not what Jesus taught, but I can see how we got there pretty easily, you know, but because we've emphasized there's the right way to be, and I better be right, because if I'm not, then I'm, you know, are the consequences? And so, doesn't that make sense? That, like, if that's the pool you're swimming in, then you introduce politics, and which one's right?
Yeah. What are the conversations you're not supposed to say around the dinner table? People always talk about, don't talk about finances or money. Don't talk about politics, you know. Yeah. And my family always
gets everybody upset.
Violates that, and we get everybody fired up.
I suppose one of the reasons we're more excited about politics than the gospel is it's happening right now. You know, we're looking at, oh, man, these candidates are, this guy's dropping out, and
that's
this is happening, and there's... You know, you look around, people are talking about it, and there's there's an excitement because it's happening right now.
Right.
And there's a sense that, and it's true in a sense, that Jesus walked in flesh a long time ago. It's not happening now.
Yeah.
Now, the movement of God is still happening.
Yes.
And, like, he's definitely still on the move. But, that can feel less tangible to people.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, in the midst of a trial, the midst of an answered prayer, it feels very tangible. But there's this story that everyone in America is experiencing, and it's the election. I think it's hard to match that level of enthusiasm and excitement at church, you know?
Yeah.
And so why aren't we more excited? I mean, I wish that we were. I wish that we showed up on Sunday so excited to grow closer to God, so excited about the movement that we're a part of. But I think part of it's what you said. Sometimes the movement has let us down, and people in the movement has let us down. We've become less excited. And in other ways, I think we're just not as aware of what this could be, you know, what this movement could be, and, like, we could be building toward.
You know, as an individual follower of Jesus, that relationship with Christ, I want to know you more, but I want to know you more, Lord Jesus, every day, every moment of every day. Help me. Spur one another on, you know, to good works and to love and good deeds, and to encourage each other. Yes, take time in God's Word. You know, meditate on it, think about it, chew it, you know, talk to others about the Word. I don't understand this. Why is that? You know, and so forth.
And I love it when we show up to Bible study on a Monday night, say, and afterwards people are, like, enthusiastic. They're like, man, I got something interesting out of that. And what happens is they start to get excited to show up. But, you know, that's twice a month.
Yeah,
and the news is on every day.
Sure. You know? Well, and I think people like to follow somebody that they can, you know, like you say, the tangible part. They like, you know, people will follow somebody.
Yeah.
They like that, you know.
Yeah.
Part of my desire, and may it grow and increase, I desire more people to follow Jesus and discover who he is and what an amazing Savior we have.
Yeah, when it's presented like, man, we're building something together. We're joining God in advancing a kingdom.
Yes.
That's exciting.
It is.
And when it's presented as an alternative story, you know, to the story that we have everywhere else in our lives, to me that's valuable and that's exciting. So, Ted, while you were on vacation, you had an idea about a prayer initiative that our church was going to enter into for the rest of 2024, and perhaps beyond, but at least for the next couple months. And so, I wanted to give you a chance to tell us about that. How did you come up with it? What were you thinking, and what is it?
Well, thank you, Christian. Yes, I was just in my quiet time, I call it percolating. You know, I was percolating with the Lord and in this whole political environment and really burdened over our country and over the world in a sense, and praying. And the Lord says, hey, you know, what's a good prayer? 2 Chronicles 7:14, a beautiful passage of Scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. And so we looked at that, and, you know, out of that birthed this idea, yeah, at 7:14 a.m., we can gather together and pray wherever you are, set your alarm, pray that verse, and pray four C's. What are the four C's? Well, I call it confession. I'm confessing to the Lord my sin, but I'm also confessing I don't have all the answers. I don't know it all. I don't have all the smarts. Lord God, I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your discernment.
So like the humility of that.
Humility.
There's a humility in confession in the first place, yeah, because you are admitting to a fault.
Yes.
But then also, I like that idea of saying, hey, I don't know everything. That's that really puts you in a good, I think, posture to receive.
Yeah.
It's not saying, Lord, confirm all of my ideas and
no,
stamp my paper.
Right.
It's saying, I don't know. I need you to teach me.
I need you to teach me, so I'm coming there. And then as we enter in through that, then we pray the second C for church. And pray for your local church. Pray for our church, the Alliance Church of Zephyr Hills. Pray for the pastors and for the leadership and for the congregation and for one another, that we really get that sense of God's movement and join him in that invitation. We don't refuse his invitation. We just jump in and say, yeah, let's go. And then pray for our community. I do love Zephyr Hills. Okay, I call it the land of milk and honey. Some people are surprised by that, but you have to really love your community. I love our community. I want to pray for my leaders in our community, for our mayor and for city council and for Dade City and for Wesley Chapel, for our community. Let's pray that God moves. And then, fourth, pray for our country. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our current president and current vice president and current Congress. Pray for them. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And so we are going to gather together. We're going to encourage people to set their alarm 7:14 a.m., 7:14 p.m. Just pray that little prayer on August 10th at 7:14 a.m. here at the church. And then also September 5th and then October 10th, I think it's that second Saturday, we are going to meet here at the church, 7:14 a.m., and pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14 together, and invite you to be a part of that with me.
Yeah, and if you can't make it on the Saturday,
you can still pray.
7:14 a.m. or 7:14 p.m.
Every day, just do it. And it's been good. People's watches have been going off. People's phones have been going off.
Yeah, we had some phones go off in our Bible study Wednesday, right? Or Sunday night, I guess it was.
Yeah, and so that's the time to pray and pray that verse that God will move in and through his people in those requests, and I believe he will. So what's the ultimate result of 7:14? Not only God hears our prayers, but he'll forgive our sin, but then he'll heal. He'll heal our land. He'll heal you. Mm. He'll heal me. And that healing is divine healing.
Yeah.
And boy, we need that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's apt that it begins with humility.
Yes.
Let the prayers we pray be motivated by him and the Spirit. If you don't know what to pray for, that's fine. You just name the people, you name the situation,
that's right,
and ask God to have his way.
Yes. And let God do it. Mm-hmm. He can.
Thanks for listening to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All of our content is produced in-house by the ZAC Media Team. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.